Anyways, hey guys, it's been me, boy Eli.
It's me,
And we're here to
Joe.
talk about Avatar: The Last Airbender, the new live action TV show coming out of Netflix. And. Yeah.
I love how that, sort of indicates where we're heading here. Because, you know, people were a bit skeptical of Netflix's last live action adaptation of, you know, like One Piece. And people were like, oh, that's good, actually. You know, that's actually. We like this, you know. This is a cool take on One Piece, right? So, you know, people were hoping, Avatar live action by Netflix can't be any worse than the Night Shyamalan movie. Like, we can only go up, right? We can only go up. And
we have a lot to say.
We have, we definitely have quite a bit to say. I feel like. To preface this, I've only seen the first episode.
I myself have taken the opportunity to watch all the episodes. You were just busy, so you could only get to one.
Yeah.
I was able to watch most of it.
But I feel like just watching one episode, you know, kind of tells me, like, where we're going in this show, you know?
And for some, it could be, I'm not taking it away from people who enjoy the show. This is just particularly from our opinions and our thought process. That kind of, you know, that show. Because we did grow up with Avatar: The Last Airbender. That was a show that really defined a generation, if you think about it. It was a show that told people you could do these kind of stories in television. But not just in television, but in, like, animation. Right?
Yeah.
It truly is, and I hate to say this, it's a light in the bottle. But, like, that show was so impactful for a lot of people. Like, even nowadays, people still, like, reference it or, you know, acknowledge it or see it. So seeing it now, with a new take of live action, which already kind of feels very, for some people, disingenuous, because it kind of, I don't want to say shit on the idea of, you know, animation, but, you know, a lot of people just don't like the idea of turning something animated into live action, because, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose.
There's a bit of elitism when it comes to, and to be fair, you still see this a lot of times, when it comes to the animation medium of, like, animation is for kids, you know, like, kids only watch cartoons, stuff like that, but, you know, it's like, no, it's an art form, you know, you have tons of different types of animated works, you know, like, I mean, pick your name of the litter when it comes to stuff like Pixar or, you know, like
any
Miyazaki film,
any foreign or domestic animated project that has landed itself into critical acclaim.
Yeah, I mean, the Spider-Verse movies, people love those, obviously. I mean,
those are based off comic books.
Yeah, but more to the point, you know, they're animated, and people really, you know, it's like, it's one of those things of, like, animation isn't just for kids thing that, you know, it's the classic thing people would say it a lot on Twitter, you know, of just, like, hey, we should, you know, give animation more respect, you know, and that's kind of, like, why I think having it, that's an interesting talking point when it comes to, like, whenever we get live action adaptations of anime works like Avatar, you know, because it's like, well, I mean, you know, there's certain things you can only do in animation, right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of losing some of that, like, spectacle and, like...
Like, the level of expressionism is going to be done through animation.
Yes.
The level of scope and scale can oftentimes just can only be done through animation. I mean, oftentimes, like, whenever you see, like, something of scale or any of those that we just mentioned, a lot of times it's storyboarded the fuck out and they're like, yeah, it's drawn out. And, but it's probably because, like, yeah, it's just this notion that it's for kids, you know, and all that kind of stuff, which is... just sad, because, like, I always equate it to, like, people who think chess is a more sophisticated thing than some other kind of sport that would be almost similar.
In terms of, like,
because, like, chess is taken seriously because it seems sophisticated.
Yeah, you know, it's, like, sort of highbrow, but then it's, like, chess is simple, is a simple game, you know, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
So, I guess there's, like, chess elitists when it comes to checker players, you know? Yeah.
Like, moving d1 to d7, or I don't know, fucking no.
All I know is that the horse goes in an L format, you know?
Yeah.
pawn can move too. Like the rook goes burr.
Mm-hmm. The rook goes burr.
Yeah.
Yeah. But more to the point is that we will be talking about this show, some of its up and downs, and some of the things that we have taken notice about it. Because again, when this show was first announced, a lot of people were very excited for it, because at first the original creators were a part of it, right? And I'm assuming a lot of people forgot that at some point they left due to creative differences, and that's always a bad sign for me. Because usually when I hear the creative differences, I'm like, okay, but what do you mean by creative differences? And they're never going to tell you because they want to make sure you watch the show.
Yeah.
But it's always like, what did you want versus what did they want, and whose idea was actually a better, you know?
Like, it's like, what was the point where you can no longer see yourselves working together, right?
Yeah.
Like, what was the breaking point? And, I mean, at least, I feel like we kind of, because I know we talked about this before on one of our other episodes, but yeah, it's a very, it's kind of clear, you've seen the entire first season, and especially after seeing the first episode, yeah, you kind of see where the original creators were coming, might have been coming from, you know?
Yeah, no, it's very much that, and, how about this? We'll start with the first episode. Like, what kind of changes they've done? What, you know, what was the first sign of things to come? And I will not be spoiling anything because you yourself said you still kind of want to watch more of it to form yourself your own opinion. We're probably not going to get to that in any of our future episodes because, like, I feel like what you said is done. But even you still want to make your own personal opinion about it.
Well, yeah, it's more of like I kind of want to see how far it goes, because,
yeah.
You know, in my opinion, I feel like, not to say that the first episode has essentially sort of colored my experience for the rest of the series, but it's very telling how this first episode goes down,
mm-hmm.
that it's like, okay, I think I see where the problem for the show lies in, you know?
Yeah, they're very much that, and it's funny, because one of the things I do remember them talking about is that they will be going through the Airbender genocide, is basically what it is. The genocide of the Airbenders.
Yes.
And that's literally what we start off with. I was actually taken aback.
Yeah, because if anything, this first half of this first episode is more of like, because obviously in the original show, you start out with Sokka and Katara finding Aang and the iceberg, you know, that sort of thing. We still get that in this episode, but it's in that whole bit is in like the second half of the episode. The first half of the episode is all about more or less just setting up like before the Fire Nation attacks, you know, and then, you know, the attack on the Southern Air Temple and, you know, Aang getting, you know, frozen in the ice, you know, that stuff, right?
But even before that, you yourself had an issue or concern, I think the better word is concern about, is when the narration started.
Yeah, the famous opening narration to Avatar, you know, like, earth, water, earth, fire, air, you know, all four elements, you know, long ago, four nations, Little Gary Harbin, then everything changed when the Fire Nation died, you know, that sort of shtick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the, you know, in the live action version, they still do that. But I will admit, it kind of, they fluff it up a bit, which I think is always kind of like a sign of like, okay, you guys are sort of like adding more stuff to something that's already simple and effective,
mm-hmm.
which isn't always good, you know, because that, you know, that opening line.
Yeah.
Narration.
It's quotable.
It's you know,
it's even like to a point where it was memed, but not memed in a bad way.
Yeah, you know, it's a very memorable opening line and narration and perfect explanation of the show. Short, simple, to the point, and it already makes sense because it's an anime show that only lasted like 22
yeah.
minutes.
Now, granted, even in the first episode, it was like an extended version because remember it includes how Sokka and Katara were like.
You know, yeah, like how they ended up with their,
like, you know, their dad leaving, you know, mom dead, basically leaving
yeah,
grandma.
Yeah.
But like Katara's story, he's like, I still have hope. right?
Yeah.
And later on, we get to the more well-known, like, everything changed until the Fire Nation attacked.
Yeah.
And, but this is, like, the most fluffed up one. Even I was like, what is, what's going on?
Yeah, it feels weird because it sort of, you know, like, it adds a lot more stuff to it, and mm-hmm. you kind of just, like, it kind of reminded me of the M. Night Shyamalan, how it opened up.
Oh.
Where it was just a scrolling text thing, you know, of Katara reading the lines, and it's just sort of like, why are we... Because it feels like this weird thing with some writers where it's like you want to... You're trying to, like, add a bunch of world-building at the start here
mm-hmm.
instead of just doing it naturally.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to just, like, you know, feed the viewer a bunch of stuff, like, already at the beginning.
They try, like, to Star Wars crawl it, and we're, like...
I mean, yeah, in the M. Night Shyamalan version, it felt
yeah,
like
Yeah, well,
that.
There's a lot of movies that try to do that, too. Yeah. And it's kind of like the point of the Star Wars crawl is, like, one, to set up, like, more of a deeper thing, but, like, you're still going to get, like, world-building as you go.
Also, it's an homage to, like, old, you know, serials that
yeah.
George liked to, you
mm-hmm.
know, watch. You know, it's mainly that, like, you know, previously on, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, that was, like, our first indication, because, like, we knew they were going to, again, from like, interviews and stuff, they were going to go through what happened with the Airbenders, but it feels kind of weird and kind of, like, what's the word I would be looking for, but essentially, like, not as impactful, right? Because the thing about the Air Nomads, right, was that we know that Aang is the last Airbender by the time we Katara and Sokka meet him. And from there, like, he becomes in denial because he's like, there's no way they could have, like, taken out my entire people. And then when he finds out, it's, like, impactful. And all the stuff I just mentioned, which takes about, like, 2 to 3 episodes, happens in all of one. Granted, yes, it's a longer episode, but, like, it feels very bloated.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because of that first half just being, like, this sort of... I think as much as it is interesting that they do go into the events of that, you know,
mm-hmm.
of that night where Aang had left and, you know, the Fire Nation attacks and, you know, just massacres the Air Nomads,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, it feels a bit unnecessary, because in the original show, obviously they don't show it, because the kids, you know, at the end of the day, it was on Nickelodeon, they can't show that sort of stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's implied, right? And, like, if you feel like when you see in the show, when you see the remains of Gyatso, right,
mm-hmm.
it's much more impactful, because you're sort of like, oh, you know. Like,
yeah, no, you, like, it wasn't that long ago that I rewatched, like the original series, and there were moments I'm like, this is a lot more mature than I remember. Because, like, you kind of don't think about it as a kid, but then when you grow up, it's like, oh, that was a real thing. That was an actual situation that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's one of those things, like, I'm not saying you should show kids, like, horrible, horrible things. Don't do that. You're going to scar a kid. But, like, it's introduced in a way where it's like, as a child, you're like, oh, that's what happened. And then, like, when you grow, when you become an adult, you're like, oh, that's what happened, you know? It's that realization that, like, they explain it to you in a way where you can understand. Right?
Yeah.
You kind of Mr. Rogers it.
yeah, but I think it's more of, like, for me, it's more of, like, not showing it
mm-hmm.
actually adds a bit more to...
Yeah.
The weight of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see, all you see is the aftermath, and it's like, oh, wow. You know, like, this
yeah.
is, you know, like, a truly tragic event. Here, I mean, I think what it feels, like, what's off to me is, like, you feel like you have all these characters, and you don't have, like, I think it's supposed to be, you know, like, it's supposed to be make you feel sad, right, that all these people are dying and stuff, but
mm-hmm.
it's like, you haven't really had enough time to spend a chunk of time with them, so
mm-hmm.
it's kind of just like they're kind of just background characters, just getting off one by one. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like okay.
But the one of the things that I feel that really kind of bothered me too was, and again, that oftentimes with these shows, the first episodes are very much indicator of, like, what to expect, like you were saying. One thing I was not expecting that was going on with the show is how fast it was going. Like, everything was going quick, 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 quick.
Yeah, I think that's also an interesting thing about it, too, right? Where it's like, okay, so we have, because we spent all that first half, you know, divulging in this sort of, like, extra lore stuff that we never saw in the in the show, like the original show,
yeah,
that means we are essentially kind of just speedrunning some of the actual bits of the show that we do know about, mm-hmm. right, that are getting adapted, right?
Yeah, and then we start, it becomes even more noticeable when they make certain changes. Like, for example, for me, one of the weirdest changes that they did in that first episode is, like, giving sort of Katara a mental block from her committing to waterbending. Like, they already gave, like, for me, they already gave a very reasonable explanation, is that, you know, they find out you're a waterbender, stuff can happen. Even though, like, that always felt kind of weird to me. Like, I understand why you did it. I understand that's being the reason. But also giving her a mental block, and also, like, it just becomes overcomplicated, is what I'm saying. Like, even now I'm having a hard time explaining it right now.
Well, yeah, because, she's, like, obviously, in the original show, like, mm-hmm. she's a waterbender, but she's not, like, super skilled at it, right? She's still a novice,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, over the course of the show, she gets to get better and, you know, like, able to master waterbending and stuff, right? But here, it, you know, it's not only is she, like, a novice, she's also discouraged because, you know, like, you know, the Fire Nation, you know, pretty much killed all the waterbenders in her tribe, so it's very much like, hey, you can't be waterbending, we don't want you to get, like,
mm-hmm.
snatched up too, right? And also, like, she also has this, you know, again, like, you said, a mental sort of block of, like, you know, I'm, you know, I try to focus on stuff, but it still doesn't really work out, and it's, Aang has to tell her, like, oh, you know, like, the monks told me, you know, it's all about, like, balance and stuff, you know, you gotta just balance it out, and once she hears that, and, like, sort of does it, it's like, oh, wow, alright, I see mm-hmm. two of them, you know, got this down.
Yeah, but no, it's so weird how often they speedrun through most of that, too, because you were noticing that, like, are we now getting, you know, getting Zuko in on this, and are we now, like, setting up, like, this weird, this friendship that, like, kind of happens real quick and real fast?
Yeah, and that is, you know, it's so weird because, you know, you think, hey, 8 episodes are, like, hour long. You don't really need to
mm-hmm.
do this sort of thing, you know? Like, you don't need to speed things up. Like, you're a TV show. You can spend time, like, letting the characters talk to each other and, like, get to know one another. Like, the fact that, like, the first half of this episode is just solely focused on, like, stuff that... expanding, like, world lore from the original show that doesn't seem like is necessary.
No.
To do, because, like, legitimately, you can start off the episode, you know, the same as you always did, right? Like, at, like, that moment, you know, like, just like yeah. the original show did, right? You don't have to start it off in that moment. Maybe have, like, a little flashback here just showing, you know, the Fire Nation attacking and, like, devastating, you know, the various nations, but, like, I don't know, it just seems weird, and it feels like, I don't know, like, it feels like it's supposed to be setting some stuff up, but it's like, why, you know?
Yeah, no, and I was, there's a lot of setup, too, like, I just find it so weird that we're getting introduced to Sozin so quickly. Sozin, who's a very important character in, you know, Avatar, especially in relationship with Aang's past life with Roku, so quick and so immediate, and they're already establishing Sozin Kame, which is something that is, I don't know, just it's not done in a very organic way, right?
Yeah, I think that's sort of the issue. I think you and I have sort of started to see it definitely seen it, but I think you are also seeing that,
yeah,
as well,
no,
where,
like,
there are certain moments and stuff where certain build-ups to certain things that don't feel, like, organically done, like, very, like, thought out and paced. It's just sort of, like, fast.
So, like, no, you're right, because not to go into spoilers, but like I said, I've finished the season and watched all of the episodes, and there's a moment that they literally had to stop the scene to introduce a character that doesn't show up until season 2. Like, mm-hmm. Literally, I looked away for a quick second. I heard a voice. I'm not saying it's a character voice. Like, you immediately know who the character is or whatever. But I hear a voice and I hear someone saying, "Is that a so-and-so?" And I turn around like, "What are you doing here? Why are you here?" And it's so distracting because this character has a very important role. But that role doesn't happen until way later. Also, it doesn't make sense that they would be here. Like, it breaks the immersion. And, like, character's only there to explain a certain situation, certain thing. And, like, it's so weird to me. Because I'm just like, why are you here? Even some, like, it's so weird. I can't. It's an interesting take, man. I'll just say that. Because even, like, some characterizations I feel are also either rushed or changed to a way where it doesn't make any sense to me. And, like, I won't go into it too much, right? Because I don't want to spoil it for anyone out there. But for me, this show is, like, really structured weird because Avatar Last Airbender was one of those shows that I tend to tell people, like, is a good example of a well-structured show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the, like, episodes that people consider filler end up actually mattering later on, or, like, establishing, like, important relationships or, you know, moments in those characters. Like, one of the best examples I feel for that was the episode of, like, Kyoshi. Now, not the Kyoshi Wars, but the episode where, like, this village hates Aang because his past life killed someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, because what I liked about that one, it was, yes, technically a filler episode, but it also establishes who
Avatar Kyoshi was.
And she was a bad bitch.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I killed that fucker.
Yeah, because he tries to, like, you know, he enters the Avatar state to, like, talk to Kyoshi. He's like, hey, you know, these people are saying bad things about you. Like, don't you want, like, the, you know, tell them stuff? And it's like, no, I did it.
What?
He was an asshole.
Yeah. I had a very reasonable reason to do it. I'm like, wait, what? And then, like, knowing that, when Aang eventually, like, has a conversation with her, he's like, yeah, but that wasn't your fault. You, like, you just was too stupid. Like, I mean, honestly, man, personally, I feel like I killed the dude. Right? Like, that establishes her, who she is. And then, like, whenever, or even another good episode, the beach episode. With Zuko and the
girls. And Azula and the rest of them, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's purely, like, at first starts off like a filler, like, just like a regular, like, anime beach episode filler, and then, like, all of a sudden it's like, oh no, we're trauma dumping.
Yeah, you have the characters sort of talk about their various sort of problems and stuff like that, yeah.
And then it leads on to, like, a lot of the other, but that's what I'm saying, like, the show has always been paced very well, but here it goes, like, real quick and fast. And some of the characterizations, I feel like, it's, like, really weirded out by it. And, like, changes in there, too. I'm like, again, I'm not going to go that deep into it, but there's moments in the show I'm like, this feels very weird.
It feels off, and you're, like, just trying to struggle as to why. Why make it like this, right?
That's what I've been asking a lot of times, if there's, like, okay, but why? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, to say some positives, because I feel like we've been kind of bashing on it for a good amount of time, right? To give some positives, as someone who's, like, watched the whole thing, they ended up doing something that I was kind of hoping they did, where now with context we can, like, change things up or, you know, add things to something that wasn't there to flesh out certain characters. I feel like they did that with Ozai and Azula specifically, who, like, yeah, Ozai doesn't really, it's kind of like a hidden figure, right? He's a presence. He's, like, not really much of a character in the original show.
Mm-hmm.
Azula's more of the threat. Here, I'm not going too much into it. I feel like Ozai is hinted to be a little more complex.
Mm-hmm.
And that might rub some people the wrong way, but I'm kind of interested in to see where they go with him. Because it's implied that, like, then he might be knowing that some of the stuff he's doing is kind of fucked up. Right? And Azula, I think, might be like a make it or break it for some people in terms of characterization, because like there's moments where I kind of see where you're going with it. Kind of goes into her like trying to get her, you know, her daddy's approval, which doesn't really happen till her, the end of the season.
Yeah,
but they're kind of like establishing it right near right now, which I'm like, no, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But and like, and then if you watch the show, you know that like for a long time, Ozai was always like, listen, Zuko, I don't really fucking care about you. Your sister is who I love.
Yes.
And like here, it still has that sort of implication,
mm-hmm.
that like, yeah, he kind of prefers his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's also very much like, because of that, you know, Azula has to like prove herself more.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. That's the way that I read it. Now, granted, I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very interested to see where they go with those two characters, because they're always kind of like one of the more talked about aspects. Like, you know, Ozai is like not much of a character. People kind of like on him, even though like the whole point is like he's kind of like a force of nature, right?
Yeah.
He's this ideology that Aang has to fight. While Azula was more of the villain, who, because like if she beat Zuko, then like that's how fucked they are.
Yeah.
Like it thematically, it was like the future of the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
Right. And this whole time, I'm not talking about Zuko or Iroh, but honestly, I feel like they're fine.
Yeah, for the little they are in the first episode,
yeah.
they serve their purpose well.
And throughout the show, like they do establish what I feel like was always kind of one of the best parts of the show is the relationship between those two.
Mm.
They kind of like explore a little bit more, but like they fully establish like, no, like these two are like a father and son duo.
Mm-hmm.
Like they support each other, and I really like what they did with that. As someone who's seen the whole show, like I think those two actors do a great job. Honestly, all the actors are doing a great job. I just think the writing is really some of the more weaker parts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you feel about that though.
Because
I will say some dialogue is really bad.
I think I may have said this to you when I was watching the first episode.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, child acting is always one of those hard things to pull off. Because sometimes it's fine, most of the time it's just very awkward,
mm-hmm.
and stilted.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, happens sometimes in some of these characters, with some of the actors, which, you know, like, you know, they're child actors. Sometimes you gotta, like, you know, you gotta just, like, let it, you know, slide.
Yeah. And like I said, they do some changes where, in reality, I see where you're coming from, but it's also like, okay, but why? It feels kind of weird. But if you execute it well enough, I think it's fine. Yeah. But again, some there's going to be some things that I don't want to say. It's kind of like the Halo show.
Uh-huh.
Where right now the season, I think, is better. But there's still some decisions I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that, Chief. Like, literally, Chief.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know about that. But I think it's the show for me comes off to being just kind of like okay, which is kind of sad when you're thinking about Avatar: The Last Airbender, considering how like impactful that show was for a lot of people, for a lot of like animation, like storytelling. It kind of sucks that it's kind of seemed okay,
mm-hmm.
and I want it to be better, and hopefully it will. I think there's enough positive word that makes people at least want to check it out and give their own formal opinion, which is what I would recommend you guys to do. I mean, this is our opinion, yes, but like, I totally understand if you're someone who likes it. I'm not taking that away from you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, as I watched more the show, I'm hoping to see like if there are a bit more improvements. But right now, I think most people are very mixed on this show.
Yeah, there's like a, I have to check it up real quick. There's like a 60% tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes from like
the
critic score, and then like 10%, 15% more for the audience, which I feel like that sounds about right. Because it's, for me, like watching the whole thing, I was like, it's okay. Some of the changes I feel are weird,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of get why you kind of want to do those changes, but also and I also understand that you kind of want to tell it in a way where
it still gets to the point. The changes, though, are things that I feel are going to be questionable for some people. But, like I said, I feel like the actors are good. Some of the lines are weird. Because I'm thinking about how the grandma just said the opening lines.
Yeah, I had a real Family Guy moment, you know, where, like, you know, the joke in Family Guy where Peter goes, like, oh, they say the name of the title, you know, cut the credits, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I was literally, like, he even, like, says, like, he is the last airbender, and it's like, cut the credits, he says the name of the show, we're out of here, folks, let's go.
Pack it up. No, and even then she says, like, the original intro line.
She does. She does do the straight-up, like, actual original
line. Like, I had to double-take. I was like, wait.
Like, that's one of those, like, hey, we referenced the thing you like.
Yeah.
Like, and you like that audience?
There's a lot of that, too. There's a lot of times where they would, like, just say, like, line for line, the line from the show. And I feel like, I probably wouldn't have done that. Because it makes me think of the show, and I'm
feels
like,
a bit insincere, right?
Exactly. And like there are moments for myself, I feel like, again, not going to go too much into it, but I feel like, man, this seems kind of a little bit mean spirited.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not to say there's a specific character I'm talking about, and I felt that was very weird for that character. But again, I'll leave it to people to decide. For me, in a way to wrap it up, I think this show is fine. As someone who's seen all the episodes, and given, you know, I had to really think about it, I think the show is fine. There really is an attention to detail on some of the areas. It kind of looks cheap in certain aspects, but I kind of get it. You know, sometimes it's hard to get that shit done. But there's attention to detail that, I mean, I'm like, huh, they got that statue down right. Or the sets or the colors and everything. I'm like, yeah, this feels right. But there's also stuff that makes me interested to see where this goes. I just feel like for this season specifically, it's a little on the... It's okay. Some questionable decisions, yes, but you can kind of see where you're going, and hopefully you kind of come out a little better. But for me, it's just kind of... eh.
Yeah, I definitely get the eh part.
Yeah.
If I can get into watching more of the episodes, I can probably make a better opinion about this. But so far, you know, I'm very much of the, like... Okay, I really think the writers, you know, or the creators of the show or whatever, really, really were like, we like Avatar, but we're going to do some of our own things with it and, you know, what we think is better for the show.
And that's a little...
And it's a little, you know, too much assuming from me, you know?
Yeah. And, like, you're not in the room, you're just assuming.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, you're not trying to put that as the final pin on it.
Yeah, but, there are moments in that, you know, where I feel like it kind of comes off that way. And it's like, I don't like to think like that, you know? But at the same time, it is hard to not think like that. But overall, I mean, I probably would agree, it's definitely a meh show. I think that's what disappoints a lot of people, too, because, you know, again, people were very much like, hey, this show is supposed to be, you know, like a remedy to the M. Night Shyamalan. You know, like, it was supposed to be a palate cleanser to the bad taste you got from watching that M. Night Shyamalan movie. And then it's like, oh, wait, this is not exactly what I wanted. This isn't... I guess I'll just have to rewatch Avatar again, the original show.
Which isn't bad.
And I think, you know, I think that's what it mostly is.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where I kind of expected it to be different, but I didn't expect it to be, like, that different. But I kind of have to get used to it because this is, like... Because if I wanted the same thing, I just watched the anime show. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where, like, I get... Going back to the Halo TV show real quick. Like, I get the changes you did there. I think they're weird. But I understand that this is kind of not meant to be the exact same thing. Right? It's kind of its own thing. That being said, I do think this show is just okay. Which, again, like I said, kind of want to be better. Because it's Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But honestly, if you want better, just watch the original Garden. I think everyone can agree on that.
Yeah.
And that's probably where we'll put a cap on it. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We have more active on Instagram, where we put a link
Linktree to all the official podcasts or podcasts like Apple Podcasts, but the spot, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, all the like, and a link to the YouTube where you can comment, like, subscribe. Be sure to get us up there, and a Patreon for any form of support. And yeah, it's been me, your boy Eli.
Me, Joe.
You guys have a good one. Enjoy Avatar in whatever way you want, even if it's the movie.
Hey, it makes a good you know, like, drinking night, right? Like,
yeah.
Take a shot every time you get a really a nice shot on a close-up face, you know?
Yeah, or Ong.
Take a shot every time he says Ong.
Yep, later, guys.